Uncontrollable anger is not just excess hormones. It's a problem of the spirit, only solvable in the spiritual realm. Running life's race is hard enough without being sidelined by fits of rage. The way out begins with admitting our problem, rejoicing in God's acceptance, and then forgiving others. Today, final lessons on handling rage the right way. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. In his message, The Roots of Rage, Dr. Lutzer takes us to the book of Genesis to see why Cain slew his brother in anger.
Here's Cain, who commits this murder, but before he committed murder, he was very angry, the text says, and God spoke to him in verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face cast down? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door and will pounce on you and will destroy you. You'd better take care of this right now." God said that to Cain. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had God as your counselor? You know, we have people here at the Moody Church who need counsel. So perhaps, you know, they talk to Pastor Birchie. They begin there and they say, "I don't like Bill's advice. And he hasn't had that much experience." So then they go to Pastor Milko, who's sitting here on the platform, and they say, "Pastor Milko has a degree in counseling. Maybe he'll be able to give me some really good advice." So they go to Pastor Milko. "I don't like what Pastor Milko had to say. Let's go to Pastor Worley or let's go to Pastor Lutzer. Now there's somebody who will really be the real answer to my problem." So they come and they see Pastor Lutzer, and he passes on his little gems of wisdom. And they say, "You know, I don't like it. I expected something better from him than that." And so they find another pastor in the neighborhood, and on they're going. Let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God were your counselor and God were to come out of heaven and to say to you, "This is the answer to your problem"? You say, "Oh, if only I could hear from God. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?" Well, my friend Cain did. And you know what? It never helped at all. That's a comfort to those of us who do counseling. It's sometimes not our fault. It's sometimes not the advice that we give. It's sometimes the person who pretends that he wants our advice and then doesn't do what we suggest. Look at God is coming. And he's saying, "Cain, look, you don't have to be angry like this. If your heart is changed and you bring the right sacrifice, you're going to be accepted just like your brother was accepted. Why all this anger? Deal with it, Cain. What you need to do is to realize that if you come to God in the right way, he will not make a distinction between you and your brother. And I say to those of you who have been hurt and feel dirty and abused, if you come to God through Jesus Christ, you'll receive the same gift of righteousness as anyone else who's ever believed on him, with all the rights and privileges and honor and correct standing as a child of God, as a son or daughter of the Almighty. You'll receive that. So why is it that you should continue to hark back over the way in which you were treated as if to say it's all lost? It isn't. You rejoice in God's acceptance." I realize that would be a message in itself, so we need to go on quickly to number 3, and that is, you have to forgive. Forgive. What did we read in Ephesians when we began this message? "Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." You must choose to let go of all the bitterness. You must give it to God. You say, "Yes, but I want justice." You can do that, and you can maintain your desire for justice. And that is because you punt the ball to God. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. I will recompense, says the Lord." God says, "Let me take care of your case for you." And what you do is you trust the Almighty to do what you can't. The Almighty will judge the situation in his way and in his time. So you say, "I release all this bitterness." Now, some of you need to do that to people who have died. your father or someone who has wronged you, or maybe somebody who has not died but is no longer a part of your life. You don't even know where they live. Remember that forgiveness is something that you can choose to do even without reconciliation. It is something that you do not need the cooperation of your enemy to do. It has to do with you releasing that bitterness to God. Someone has written, "The man I hate may be many miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of serfs can sleep, but not I. I really must acknowledge the fact that I am a slave to every man on whom I pour the vial of my wrath." Has not the person who has wronged you done enough to disrupt your life already? Does it have to continue by you being eaten with resentment and anger? It is a choice that is difficult to make, but it must be done. But listen carefully, forgiveness is both an act and a process. It's an act and a process. And it's something that I do today, and it's something I do tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. My whole life is characterized by it. And then number four, you have to deal with the devil. You really do. You know, the New Testament mentions the name Cain three times. It says in 1 John, "Why did Cain kill his brother Abel?" And then it says, "Because he was of that wicked one." And it's referring to Satan. And then it says in the book of Jude that there are false teachers who have gone the way of Cain, doing their own thing. Now notice that. The scripture is very clear that those who become angry may indeed be influenced by the devil himself. Doesn't that make sense? He is known as a destroyer. That's one of his names. He's the destroyer. And he wants you to be a destroyer. And he wants me to be a destroyer. And we can through our irrational anger and our tempers, where we do not get facts, where we haul off quickly and we don't process what's going on. There's so much more that I could say about that. It says in Ephesians 4, "Do not give place to the devil." It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your anger." The word place means topos. Don't let the devil have a foothold. So he's going to want to just make you a destroyer, either by clamming up through passive aggression or by blowing up, like that pit bull that we spoke about a moment ago. And then, of course, number five, there is accountability and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, where you begin to examine your life and allow God to do it, because these roots run deep. And then you are held accountable for your behavior and willing to face the pain that your own anger has inflicted. And you receive the forgiveness of all those around you whom you have wronged, so that there can be a sense of a new beginning in accountability and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. The other day, someone sent me a story about a professor in a seminary whom we shall call Brother Smith. Brother Smith was creative in being able to think of ways to make a point to his students. He used object lessons. So the kids came to class and he had a target on the wall. And on the table next to the students, there were all of these darts. So he said to them, "What I want you to do is to draw a picture of someone whom you dislike, maybe even someone you hate. And you're going to get a chance to use the dartboard." And so they drew pictures. Here's a girl who drew a picture of a guy who had stolen, or rather a girl, I should say, who had stolen her boyfriend from her. So she drew his picture. Here was somebody else, a woman who drew a picture of a man who had abused her. So she drew his picture. I think the question was not whether the kids could think of anyone that would fit into that category. The question was, who do you choose when you get an opportunity like that? So they put their pictures up on the target, and they used the darts. Some of those students threw the darts so hard that their targets began to break apart. Oh, they had some fun doing it, but there was more than fun. This was great. This was getting it all out. When they were finished, Brother Smith took the target and peeled it off the wall, and behind it was a picture of Jesus. And when the students saw the mangled picture of Jesus, when they saw that his eyes had been pierced out, and his cheek and his neck had been so brutally torn, they just began to weep. And Brother Smith said to them, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Even after the bell rang, the students did not leave, but stayed there, contemplating what they had done. This word comes from my heart to your heart today. Every arrow that we throw at someone, every attack at a wife, a husband, a child, is an arrow that pierces the heart of Jesus. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." We're all guilty, and we come to the foot of the cross to receive cleansing and forgiveness and ask the forgiveness of those whom we have wronged. And we deal with the root, and God will change us. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I think that all of us have been stirred by the illustration that I gave as I concluded this message. The fact that when we hurt others, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, we are actually hurting Him. And I've often contemplated the words in the book of Acts where Jesus said to Saul, who was on his way to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul, as he was known back then, was an enemy of the church of God. But Jesus said that because you are hurting them, you are hurting me. The implications, of course, are mind-boggling. Well, today I want you to be a thankful person. And one of the ways that we can be thankful to God for His many mercies is this. First of all, let us rejoice in His forgiveness of us. Be thankful for that. Secondly, I want you to be thankful for the fact that God is giving you the grace to forgive others who have hurt you. Third, I want you to give thanks today for the body of Jesus Christ, because the purpose of the body, in addition to giving glory to God, is so that we might be strengthened, so that our love might become evident, so that we might learn to forgive one another, and in learning to forgive, become God-like. So take out a moment and think of someone who has hurt you and say, "God, I want to thank you for that hurt, because I want to thank you that it gives me an opportunity to lay it down, to forgive those who have hurt me, and in so doing demonstrate the blessed power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us so that we can live differently." That's the challenge that I lay before you today on this special day, a special opportunity to serve our Lord.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Roots of Rage, another message in a series on why good people do bad things. Tomorrow, a crucial message about the importance of your dad. Don't miss The Father's Voice. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.